What happens when you follow a protocol, you do everything right, you take all the supplements, you changed your diet, you tried the therapy, you read the books, and it worked for your friend or a colleague or someone else in your online group, but not for you? And the conclusion many people draw is that something is wrong with me, or this isn't the right protocol. But what if nothing is wrong with you, and what if you've just been using someone else's map? Today, I want to offer a different explanation, one that is based on different ideas that liberate us from a one-size-fits-all system. The reason that the same treatment doesn't work for everyone is not about compliance. It's not about willpower. It's not about belief. It's that human beings aren't interchangeable. And healing, real healing, is not just a protocol, it's a match. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkleman. And today on the podcast, I want to talk about a myth that we don't really discuss enough in medicine, which is the myth of the universal fix. And, you know, modern medicine is built on this idea. And it's a good idea because we want to understand how things are repeatable, right? You find the cause, you apply a cure, and you repeat the process. And for certain things, this model works really, really well. Infections, many times, not always. Fractures, for sure. Acute crises, many times. This model works amazingly well. But somewhere along the line, we applied this logic to everything. Depression, anxiety, fatigue, autoimmune disease, chronic pain. And we assume that if we could just find the right intervention, whatever that intervention is, the right drug, the right diet, the right modality, it works predictably for everyone. And in my over 20 years of practice, I have found that that's just not true. It's really interesting when we look at, say, depression. 33% of people will get better regardless of what you do. And there was a study done probably in the 80s, because when I was in therapy school, I learned about this. And it was a dentist who decided that he was going to treat depression by pulling people's molars out. And what he found was 33% of the people got better. Well, what we found out is that it didn't matter what you do, 33% of the people will get better. And that's not about placebo. That's just about life, right? People just get over their depression sometimes on their own. And when you look at research on antidepressants, really a meaningful response is roughly half the people who try them. And when you take into account that 33% of the people are going to get better regardless, that's not that big of a number. That's like 20% get better as a result of the antidepressants. So the research on elimination diet shows dramatic results for some and almost nothing for others with identical symptoms. And so it's like, what is this about? This is not a failure of science and medicine. It is a failure of something. It's a failure of understanding. And this is the issue. It is that medicine is slowly catching up to something that healers and other traditions have known for centuries, that the person is not a variable in the treatment equation. The person is the equation. This has to do with biochemical individuality, the idea that each person's physiology, their genetics, their microbiome, their nervous system, their history, their metabolic patternings, their spirit, if you will, is different. Everything is different. Not slightly different, but clinically different. And I've seen this with identical twins. You know, there's tons of studies that show similarities between identical twins. Studies that show that if you take two twins, you separate them at birth, they'll like the same things. Like they'll drink the same brand of beer, for example, even though they're raised in very different environments. And that's a mild example. But even with that, there's a variation. There's something different underneath all of that that we don't understand. And that something shapes not just how we how our body processes things, nutrients and hormones, but it also gives us how we relate to our own suffering and what we tolerate and what we resist and what we're ready for. And that layer, the psychology, the archetypal pattern, the archetypal self, is just as determinative of the outcome as the lab values. And in my clinical work, I've come to understand that people sit somewhere on two distinct axes when it comes to their health. The first axis is their capacity. Well, this is your nervous system's ability to hold load, if you will. And it's also a function of your energy reserves as well, right? So this is how we can have stress related to our system without tipping us into dysregulation. And this allows us to metabolize, if you will, experience, our emotional experience, our physical experience, our relational experience. And sometimes if people are depleted, their nervous system may be carrying too much for too long. And every demand, even the demand of healing, is too expensive for them to engage with. And so oftentimes the interventions that I give in these situations with somebody land completely differently with someone who's higher up on this axis, if you will. You know, if you don't have capacity to absorb nutrients, then whatever nutrients you take in the protocol are going to exacerbate your symptoms. And likewise, deep psychological work can be transformative for someone with capacity, but for someone who's depleting, it just floods them. It creates instability. And it's not because they're not ready to heal or want to heal. It's that their vessel isn't strong enough to hold what surfaces. And so that capacity is a very important aspect of healing. The second axis is orientation. And this has to do with healing versus cure, which I've talked about on the podcast before. Some people come focused on the practical, I want to feel better right now. They want their symptoms managed. They want energy restored. They want their body, you know, their biology optimized. And this isn't about shallowness, by the way. This is just, that's where they're at in their capacity. But other people have a very different pool. And their sense is that there's something deeper than just the physical symptoms. They don't necessarily know how to name it. And it's not that they don't want the symptoms to go away. It's that they want something deeper. They know, they start seeing that there's repetitive patterns, whether it's in their body or relationships. When you start seeing that, you don't want to just fix things. You want to heal them. It's not just about feeling better. It's about becoming more fully you. And neither orientation is more involved than the other. It just requires different containers. Their response to these approaches needs to be different, and how we apply healing needs to be different as well. And this is, I think, a big part of the issue that has been going on and what I've discovered in my years of practice. That, you know, as an example, I've talked about how B6 can be problematic for some people, even if they have pyral disorder. And part of the problem is that when you don't have enough B6, or when there's so much toxicity that you effectively have pyral issues, what happens is that when you start adding B6 into the system, the body says, oh, let me do whatever I can do with this. But if your system doesn't have enough energy and capacity to do that, then it just gets overwhelmed and you feel really, really bad. So I'm going to take a quick break. And on the second half of the show, I'm going to talk more about this and why you haven't failed the treatment. It's just that the treatment hasn't matched for you. So stay tuned. Hello and welcome back to Ask Dr. Gill. I am your host, Dr. Gill Winkelman. And before we continue with the archetypes and the two access system, I want to just remind people, if you have any comments or questions, please feel free to email me at info@askdrgill.com. That's askdrgill.com. And I'll be happy to answer questions. And if you are liking the show, adding comments and likes down below is really helpful for bringing out more listeners like yourself. So I really appreciate that. All right, so let's jump back into when mismatch healing stalls. Let me be specific about what happens when the match is wrong. Someone with low capacity, for example, could start with intensive trauma therapy, and they are motivated. They believe in the work. They trust their therapist. But their nervous system, which is already on edge, can't integrate what surfaces. And sometimes what can happen is your symptoms will worsen. And what I've seen is that people blame themselves for not being ready. And it's not that they're not ready. It's that they're under-resourced. And I think that's important to understand. Because oftentimes when I've seen this happen with patients where something big will come up and they just feel overwhelmed by it. Now, it's an amazing piece of work. And the problem is they weren't fully ready for that level of intensity. And someone who is transformation oriented but gets handed a protocol, you know, they might take their supplements, follow the diet, whatever it is, optimize their markers, they comply, and they might see some improvement, but then everything stalls out, or they feel worse. And part of it is that it could be physiologic, right? As I mentioned with the B6, it could be that the nutrient, the body goes, wow, this is great, let's use all these nutrients, and then the body just can't handle everything all at once. But it also could be that the drive, there's a pattern that wasn't about the nutrient deficiency, but rather it's about this, the story they've been living with inside them since childhood. And no supplement really addresses that layer. So someone who needs practical stabilization gets told they need to go deeper. but then they crash. Oftentimes what I've seen is people become fearful of the depth work, but it isn't the depth that's the issue. It's not the depth that failed them. It's the timing of the intervention that was the issue. And likewise, someone who's highly research and precision oriented could get a generic protocol and they make progress, but then they hit a ceiling that generally approaches things and they can't break through it. And I'll give you an example of that in terms of, I have patients who come to me for a specific thing, for example. Let's say, just as an example, it's to improve sleep. And oftentimes what I've seen is patients will improve in other areas. And these are people with high capacity could improve in other areas, or they've said that they did a protocol on their own, like they did something they found on the internet and things improved, but their sleep didn't get fixed. You know, it's like, that's an example of the generic approach, creating some improvement, because I think generally if you eat better and take certain supplements, if you know, assuming capacity, you are going to have some improvement regardless, but it may not be that breakthrough. And it's not that the protocol is the limiting factor. It's the specificity that is. And in each of these cases, the approach is legitimate. It's just that the mismatch is there. The question is never just, what does this person need? It's also, what does this person need right now, given where they are? And this is where I've come up with a system to look at this stuff. And I'm going to talk more about this in the next few weeks, because over many years of clinical practice working across physiology, psychology, neuroscience, and what I call the deeper architectures of a person's life, we'll say almost like a spiritual ideas, I've come to recognize that there's five healing profiles. And I call them archetypes because they are more than symptom clusters. They're more like patterns of how our bodies engage with healing. And so understanding what the healing is required is the first step in helping someone get better in their lives. So I want to give you a glimpse of each of these. So there's a person whose system is full, they're overloaded, and their research goes towards survival. What they need isn't deep insight. It is relief, regulation, and a slow return of capacity. And I will say, before I continue, that this isn't necessarily a progression. You can skip around in these, and also, the person with low capacity, as I just, who's overloaded, they might get back into capacity in a couple of weeks. It's not like you have to go through this long process to get back to capacity necessarily. So now there's also a person who's highly resourced, highly functioning, very precise, self-aware, but the general approaches have caused him to, or her to plateau. And they've gotten as far as they can get. And in their case, they need more specificity to kind of move beyond that. And there's a third person who senses that their symptoms are connected to something larger, and they want to do that deeper work, but their physical capacity isn't there. And so they have to strengthen that first before they can do that deeper work. And there's a person who's kind of in between. They're generally in both worlds. Like they have capacity. They have a foot in the practical, like I want the symptoms relieved, but they also understand there's a deeper level. And that person is really interesting to me because they're not sure which way to go. In some cases, their work requires going both directions at the same time. And then there's a person who has the capacity, has the orientation for and the history of self-work, the really deep depth work, but they haven't found how to do this on their own. And next week, I'm going to go deeper into these profiles. But now I want to explore the question that changes everything, which is, are you healing at the right level? Because knowing the answer to this is maybe the most useful thing you've done for your work in health. And I'm finding that for me as a practitioner, that asking this question is really the beginning of changing how people respond to treatment protocols, right? And it's not just, you know, naturopathic medicine is about customizing protocols. I've been doing that for years. What's new for me is looking at capacity as part of this, because that changes how we view the way that someone can engage with the healing process. So I want to leave you with something to notice this week before I close. I want you to think of a healing approach you've tried that didn't work the way you expected. Not one you gave up on too early, but one that you really gave a full effort to and it still fell short. And I want you to ask yourself two questions. The first is, was the nervous system resourced enough at the time to actually integrate the approach? And was that approach actually matched to what you needed? Or was it the right timing for someone else's version of my problem? Don't analyze, just notice it. See what comes up from within you, because that answer is somewhere within you. And what I'm asking you to do is simply hear what it is that your mind-body is telling you. So next week, I'm going to talk about being at the right level, and we'll map the two axes in detail and begin to show you where you actually sit on them. Until then, notice which treatments you've tried that were built for someone else and begin to ask what a treatment built for you might feel like instead. Hey, thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it. And like I said, if you have any comments or questions, please let me know. And check out my website AskDrGill.com, because there's new things coming up, including I'm going to be putting together the quiz that is related to these five archetypes and maybe helping you figure out where you are right now. Thanks so much.